Live! Live! Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift! Hip! We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip.
Hip, all right, two, you three, soldiers four, of Yahweh, hip. This is your wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is Wake Up Call, and this show is for the 21st of September, 2017. This is going to be part three of the prepper list. This is going to wrap up the prepper list for this month. It's going to be pretty extensive today, covering some things that needed to be covered. I've been doing this off the cuff a lot. I have a list, but I always remember more things. I'll have everything organized and I'll have this list printed out. I will post it on my website, and I will be bringing a complete copy of this entire list to the Feast of Tabernacles next month with me. So let's touch on some things. I had done at the last part of part two of the prepper list a lot of medical things, and I want to finish up with a few little items that I didn't have time to get in at that point. Need a set of tweezers to pull out little things of thorns or a bee sting. You pull the stinger out with that. All kinds of things that you need tweezers for. You're going to need nail clippers to dress your nails, toenails and fingernails. You don't want real long fingernails, ladies. They're going to get broken and cause you a lot of grief, so you're going to need nail clippers. You're going to need non-stick dressing pads for burns. Somebody gets burned with a campfire, it will happen. Somebody's going to get burnt with something. Somebody will trip and fall on a campfire. Plan for the worst and hope for the best, okay? Be prepared in case somebody gets burned. Everybody needs to have their own stuff. All of this stuff can be put in little bags. It sounds like a lot of stuff, but I have almost all my stuff in that big green army bag. And I'm carrying extra medical stuff for other people. You're going to need burn ointment, stuff to take the pain, etc., and dress burns. Especially if there's children with you, children get burned around campfires. They'll grab a hot pot handle or something. Think ahead. If you don't need it, it's not going to hurt anything. But if you don't have it and you do need it, especially if a little kid gets his hand blistered, come on, they're little kids. They don't know. They'll know after that happens. You know how little kids are. They're going to be running around, and little kids are out of ignorance, are going to do things. You were a kid once, remember? Okay, so that covers the rest of the medical stuff. Now, I need to stress this point extremely. Under no circumstances do you have any cell phones or GPS units with you. Everybody's got to throw them in a dumpster. You cannot have these things with you because they are used to track you. Well, where exactly are we? Let me turn on my GPS. Well, it sends a signal. They're going to know when that GPS satellite is activated. They're monitoring that. Cell phones have a tracker in them. No cell phones or GPS. Anybody that insists on bringing them with them may be excluded from the group. No, you want your phone? You head that way. We're going to head another way. You don't come with us. You can't give up your cell phone. Bye-bye. That needs to be a hard and fast rule. Pardon me. I know, you know, oh man, you are so mean. No, I'm a survivalist. I'm telling you what the government is capable of. And when in a situation like we're going to be in, figure that they will do the worst. Not what they are doing right at the moment, but what they can do, they will do. You're not dealing with normal people. You're dealing with perverted, satanic-oriented, driven people that are being paid to hunt you. And they will kill you and your children. They will just machine gun the whole group. At that point, there will be no law. Because we are a gentle people and a Christian people, and we think a certain way. The enemy is the opposite of us. They are wicked, they are evil, they are devilish, and they will do horrible things to good people. It's not a movie, it's not a TV show, it's reality. These people have already killed a number of children. They killed the children at Waco. Those children were in an underground bunker in a school bus buried underground. And they put a bomb on top of that bunker, blew it open, and burned the children. Oh, we're going to save the children. No, they killed the children. They shot the Weaver boy. After they shot his dog, he shot at the guy, and they murdered the Weaver boy. He fired in self-defense. They killed him. They almost shot the baby that Vicky Weaver had in her arms when Lon Horiucci blew her head off while she's standing unarmed on a front porch holding a nursing infant. Tell me they won't kill your kids, and I'll call you a fool. They will kill your children. They're white. You understand? Your children are white children. They want to kill them. That's what they do. We're talking about evil in the times of the tribulation. You got to lose that naivete, folks. Well, I would never think of doing that. That's right, because you're a Christian. You would never think of doing that. You couldn't bring yourself to do that. These people are not Christians. They are not white for the most part. The ones they will send after us will be the mongrel dogs and vicious animals. And they will kill your white children with a smile on their face and hate in their heart. I'm not talking about a riot downtown where they're breaking store windows. That's nothing. And the tribulation, when it finally hits and they come after true Israel, they will come after us to murder us and our children. Okay, get that through your stubborn heads. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be realistic. based on past behavior of these people, they will do that. I'm not trying to do fear porn. I'm trying to get you prepared for what these demonic people will do in the future during the trib if they catch you. This is what you will expect. You cannot expect mercy or kindness or any human goodness at all from these people. They won't send those kind of people after us. They will send the demon-possessed hordes, okay? So, I'm trying to get you prepared. If you follow my advice, that's fine. If you don't, that's on you. Now, let's go to the subject of fires. Fires are very useful, but fires are dangerous. Fires, if too large, can give away your location. Now, what you use for fires, I have an ember lit camp stove. Okay? I have an ember lit. It takes little bitty 3-inch pieces of tiny wood. I suggest you get something similar. A small little camp stove. I can use that emberlit and little tiny little twigs, and I can get water boiling or cook a meal on it in a heartbeat, but you have to keep feeding it, because that little bitty tiny stuff burns very quickly, and it burns very hot, and it burns very clean, and does not make smoke. Okay? Smokeless fires are very desirable. There are a number of little camp stoves out there. Don't get one that requires propane. You can't resupply it. It's not going to happen. Okay? Can't resupply it. Something like an emberlit, you can look them up on the internet. I got mine at Cabela's. Okay, no problem. And I've used it a number of times. I'll have it at Tabernacles. It's fantastic. I made another little one that I'll demonstrate out of a metal coffee can. It's bigger than the emberlit, but you can cook on that. You can put a bigger pot on it, and you can cook on it easily, and it costs nothing except for the legs. I use little L brackets for the legs and a little bit of steel wire at the top, and that thing, you can put chunks of wood in it 3 inches long, 3 or 4 inches long. It's bigger than the emberlit. And it gets hot fast, and it's smokeless. But you have to have very dry wood. You can use those little Ziploc baggies. You can shave wood now and get little pieces of wood now and put them in baggies after they're really dry and zip the baggie shut, and you've got dry wood protected from moisture. You're going to have to find dry wood when you camp, and you're going to have to keep it dry. Very small. You don't need great big logs. These are twigs that you can break off with your hands. You don't need to be making chopping sounds. You're not going to have great big campfires for warmth and light that gives away your location. We're not talking a camping trip. We're talking survival during the tribulation. Different story. A lot less comfort. And I'll get to comfort here in a minute. You're going to need Bic lighters. They're easier. You can light a little twig and then light that fire with that little twig that's burning. Or you get box matches, light a couple of matches and drop them down in among the fire. Strike anywhere matches are the best, but you need to keep them dry in a baggie. They are susceptible to moisture. I've covered the little portable stoves. I have the ember lit. You're going to want your little stove on a flat rock, and then you build around it. You'll get stones, and you stand up large flat rocks around it as heat reflectors, and also camouflages any glow from that little fire. You do not want to have your fire pit anywhere near tents or tarps. They are flammable. Very flammable. And you can have a tent with all your stuff in it go up in a heartbeat. Woof! I know that they're water repellent and they're supposed to be a little bit fire repellent. Don't believe that. Don't chance it. Your tents need to be lightweight. You do not. I just bought a new backpacking tent because the tent that I have is a great big six-man tent that I take to Tabernacles, and a couple of people can put cots up in it. It's housing for those that don't have a real good tent. Eli always stays with me. We both have cots. And you want a ground sheet underneath your tent because of there's any roughness on the ground, like gravel or a twig or something, it will poke a hole in your tent floor, and then your tent will leak in the floor. And you need to protect that tent floor, and you need to have a trench around your tent to carry away the rainwater. You need to have that trench around that tent, and then dig a little trench downhill, whichever way is downhill, so the rainwater going off of the tent will drain away and won't come in underneath your tent. If you have a tent that is not a camouflage tent, you're going to need a camo tarp to drape over that tent to hide it. And also in the winter, for extra protection and thermal use, it will keep more heat in the tent from your body heat. Steel stakes. Okay, if you go buy regular tent stakes, they jack up the price. You can go get 12-inch spikes at Lowe's or a big hardware store, and washers that they fit through, and use those as tent stakes. You get a little tiny wire tent stake that they give you with the tents, and you hit that wrong with a hatchet or a hammer, it's going to bend up and it's useless. You're going to need lots of paracord, parachute cord. You can buy it at Walmart. You can buy it at Army Surplus stores. You're going to need a bunch of it because it will wear out eventually. You need a little bit larger rope. You can get a real good camouflage rope, and you can string it between two trees and put your camo tarp over that, and it will give you camouflage protection, but it also gives you like a front porch over your tent, and you can use that. But for heaven's sakes, don't build a fire under any of that stuff. It will set it on fire or melt it just from the heat. The stuff is not meant to be in high heat. Be very, very careful with fires. And you're going to need some method. Somebody has to pick out all the sticks or rocks where you're going to put your tent. You have to pick them out and throw them to the side, because they'll poke holes in your tent. And if you're sleeping on the ground, you don't have a cot. I'm not taking a cot with me on my go kit. I've got a ground pad. And here we are in sleeping gear. You need a ground pad. They're foam. They roll up nicely. They're waterproof. Not only is it more comfortable to sleep on that, it gives you a little cushioning. It prevents heat loss to the ground. The ground, even through a sleeping bag, if you're sleeping direct on the ground, it'll draw heat out of your bag. The ground will absorb the heat from your body. Well, that ground pad keeps the heat loss down to a minimum. And it also, if you're sleeping on the ground, you don't have a tent up yet, you get caught out, it'll keep your bag drier, because you'll have moisture coming up from the ground into your bag. And you must air out your sleeping bag often. You take it out of the tent if you're going to stay in a place a couple of days, and even if it's cold, but it's sunny, you unzip that sleeping bag totally and you drape it over one of those lines and let it get air and sunlight. You must maintain your bag. You don't have a laundry facility to go wash that bag. And if you do eventually wash out that bag, it's going to take forever to dry. They really retain the water. It'll take a whole day to dry. Now, speaking of rain, take advantage of rain. Get your clothing out that you need to wash. Have your poncho on so you don't get soaked. But you lather up some soap on your clothing, and you soap up your clothing, and then you hang it out, and you keep letting it get soaking wet, and then you wring it out and let it get soaked again and wring it out, and it's rainwater fresh. You use the rain to gather clean water to fill your water bladders. You can have a funnel or something that will gather a lot of rain, or off the edge of your tarp if it's clean, where it's running down, you can angle your tarp so you got a stream of water going in a certain spot, and you use a funnel and you fill all your water bladders with rainwater. If it is warm weather, the men go one way, the women go the other way, and you take your soap and your washcloth and towels and clothes in waterproof containers, and you soap up in the rain and you rinse off in the rain, and you use that to clean yourself if it's warm weather. Take advantage of that free water from Yahweh. All right. Showers, hot water showers. I had said that you probably won't be able to get hot showers. I was wrong. I forgot about these black bag showers. You can get a fancy model, the Sea to Summit pocket shower. You can access this and take a look at it. It's 4.5 ounces of dry weight. It's $32 at L.L. Bean. Here's the link. https://www.youtube.com/ www.youtube.com/watch question mark, lowercase v, as in victory, equal sign, lowercase d, number 6, lowercase u, c, y, uppercase u, c, s, lowercase z, uppercase y, uppercase o. That I will take you to the C to Summit Pocket Shower, or you can just Google it. It's $32 at L.L. Bean. I took a look at it. It's very nice. But for the money, I went to, oh horrors, Walmart! Because the other one's made in China, too. Everything's made in China. We don't make anything here. Let me get a drink of coffee while it's still hot. Okay. The Ozark Trail Shower. It's 5 gallons, just like the other one. Has shower, it's very similar, but it's $8.97 at Walmart in the sporting goods department. That's Ozark Trail Shower. 5 gallons for $8.97. I've got one. I'm going to buy another just as a spare. Okay? It's the black plastic bag. You hang the thing, you fill it full of water, and you hang it out in the sun. You can use the water. It'll get nice and hot. You can use it to take a shower, or you can use it to wash dishes. If you have a big tub that somebody's carrying with you, you can use it to do laundry. That's 5 gallons of hot water, and I mean hot. Got to be very careful. If you leave it out there all day and it's really hot, you're going to have to add some cold water to it to take a shower because it'll scald you. So that's $8.97. Buy two. I'm going to get a second one. I'm going to have two. Just in case something happens to the one. I'm not going to be out there without this when it's only $8.97. Get them while you can. You need to get all the stuff that I've been talking about while you can. And that was the last of my coffee. So let's go back over. I'll start with the first prepper list. You need a backpack, you need a hydration system, preferably one of those Camelbacks. You'll need a two-wheel hand truck to tie your big duffel bag on and secure it to stuff all your stuff down in there in order. You need a couple of other military-type bags that you can tie on for your medical kits. You need camo clothing. You need a boonie hat. You need boots, 2 pair. You need lots of socks, lots of underwear. You're going to need some cooking gear. You'll need your backpacking tent. You'll need camo tarps, a compass. You need maps. You will have to have a trenching tool. Somebody in the group needs a trenching tool to dig latrines. You have to have a clean camp with the latrine outside the camp because that's a commandment of Yahweh. You have to have water purification. I'm saving for my Berkey light that I can take with me. Gonna need lots of paracord. You need Gorilla Tape. That's heavy black stick'em. It's like duct tape, but it's three times as strong. It's killer tape. You need some JB Weld. I'm going to get a Berkey Light. That's about $230. I'm going to have two pairs of boots, which I will have broken in beforehand. I'm going to wear them all over. Wear them around the house. Wear them going to the store. Wear them walking around the yard. Break them in. Soft, pliable, that won't eat your feet. Need wool socks. A hiking staff. You can get a great big broom handle for an industrial grade broom and make a nice hiking staff out of it. You're going to need plenty of soap bars. You're going to need washcloths and towels and toothbrushes and toothpaste. You'll need antifungal foot powder. The ladies are going to need monthly feminine supplies. You'll need deodorant. If there are any hemorrhoidal problems, you'll need plenty of Preparation H. You cannot go to a drugstore and resupply once the trouble hits. You'll need muscle rub for sore muscles. You'll need scissors to cut your hair and other things with, and a little plastic mirror. No metal. You can get the polished metal, but it weighs more. Need insect repellent for sure to keep away the ticks and the mosquitoes in the summertime. You'll need sunscreen if you're hiking in hot weather. If you wear glasses, you're going to need several spare pairs of glasses. I've got mine. You're going to need good cases for them. You're going to need glass cleaner for your glasses. Everybody should have knee braces and ankle braces, even if you don't have bad knees or ankles now. There's always a chance that you will slip and twist a knee or an ankle. You need to be prepared for that. Oh, I'll never do that. It happens to the best of us, folks. Yes, it does. I've been hiking all over the country with some of the best outdoorsmen and women in the country, and somebody always winds up slipping on a patch of clay or something and twist an ankle. It happens. Be ready. You'll need work gloves of leather. You will need cold weather gloves so you don't get frostbitten fingers. You will need a good scarf you can wrap around your neck and your throat for cold weather. You'll need a poncho with a liner. That'll double as a sleeping bag, believe it or not. The military ones will. You'll need ACE wraps. Get a couple of those for sore whatever. You can wrap something up with those. You'll need a good set of binoculars. Everybody needs to have their own set. Good ones. Not the itty-bitty, tiny little bitty ones. You can get some small sizes, but they need to be good quality, not junk. You'll need a good belt knife that'll hold up. Not cheap Chinese crap. Get a good American-made carbon steel belt knife. Trail food, you're going to need lots of granola bars. You can fill up a black plastic bag with those and tie them on your go kit. But when you're flagging about midday and you're absolutely ready to fall over and you can't build a fire because you need to keep moving, you can grab a granola bar and eat that granola bar with some fresh water. And it'll keep you going. You don't eat six or seven of them. You'll run out. You need to conserve that stuff. That's emergency trail food. so you don't fall over. Medical stuff, you need ibuprofen, you need hydrogen peroxide, you know, or Tylenol, whatever. Large band-aids, small band-aids, antibiotic ointment. You'll need surgical gloves. You'll need lots of Glad bags to keep all your bandages and dressing material dry. You'll need dressing material, rolled gauze, you know, stuff like that. Gauze patches, gauze dressing. Get them out of the box. Get them in a plastic Glad bag with a zipper, the zip type. Keep them dry. You'll need cough syrup. You might need some Theraflu to take that with you. Okay? Let's get into part two. When will I get it off the... Oh, what the heck happened to that? Oh, I did part two. Here we go. And I'll do part three again, as I did today. You'll need tweezers, nail clippers, non-stick dressing pads for burns, and burn ointment. Don't bring any cell phones or GPS with you. Keep your fire small, preferably in one of those little ember-lit stoves. I've got mine. I think it's worth the money. It's titanium and it's lifetime guarantee, and it's marvelous. You'll need something to start the fires with. You need Bic lighters and box matches. You need to build any fires that you might build inside an enclosed rock enclosure so it doesn't show. Have to be very small wood, so it doesn't make any smoke. Keep any fires away from tarps or tents. You need a lightweight backpacking tent and a ground sheet under the tent to protect the tent floor, and a camo tarp over the tent to hide it. And it also provides extra thermal protection in the winter. Trench around your tent to carry away the real rainwater. Go to a hardware store and get 12-inch nails, great big 12-inch spikes, and washers that'll fit over the shaft of the spike, and you use those for tent stakes. Because the little bitty little wire stakes they give you are no good. Need lots of paracord and some larger rope to string between trees for your camo tarp. Make sure there's no sticks or rocks under your tent. With your sleeping gear, you'll need a set of sleeping bags that I covered. You'll need a ground pad for inside your tent that prevents heat loss and it keeps your bag drier, and you need to air out your bag a lot. Take advantage of the rain to wash clothing and to clean yourselves, and for clean water gathering to fill your water bladders. And you can get your little Ozark Trail shower at Walmart for $8.97. And that ends the prepper list. I'm going to have all of this at the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to show a demo on how to pack, how to attach the duffel bag to the two-wheel cart. For heaven's sakes, if you buy a two-wheel cart, do not buy one with inflatable tires. They must be solid tires. You'll get a flat with inflatable tires, and then you'll wind up dragging all that weight. You need one with solid tires. Now, we're not going to be racing through the wilderness, okay? Running through like Rambo. That's not happening. The fastest pace that your group can go is the pace of the slowest person in the group. You must stick together to help one another. You're not out there to impress anybody. Group support is imperative. Somebody gets a little bit injured, twists an ankle, like I said, you're going to need to slow down to accommodate them. This is an us against the bad guys situation. You must take care of one another. Even if you're not the best of friends and there's some frictions, you need to put your egos aside. You cannot let anybody leave the group. Oh, I'm just going to go surrender. And as soon as they go, they'll offer them a hot meal and a shower, and they will sing like a choir. They will tell all who's in the group. They will tell where you're going, where your stashes of supplies are. They will rat you out, and they'll be treated nicely until they finish ratting you out, and then the enemy will turn on them, and it will be horrible. But they won't believe it until it happens. They think they're going to get mercy from devils. If you have anybody that's unsure, oh, I don't know whether I want to do all of that, don't include them in your group, because that's going to come with them. If they are not fully committed, they don't need to be with you, because they will turn. That's harsh reality. I'm sorry. I've seen it over and over and over and over. You get a guy that's doing lip service, and he thinks it's a neat hobby. Oh, we're going to meet, and we're going to do this, and I'm a member of this, and. But when it gets ugly, they bail on you. And if they're confronted by a bunch of federal thugs, they're going to rat you out. That's the ugliness of the situation. And people, Billy Bob wouldn't do that. Yeah, Billy Bob would. Billy Bob's a coward at heart, and he didn't need to be around you in the first place. He was a hangers-on. He was never fully committed. And he will sing like the Vienna Boys Choir. He will rat you out. That is the nature of people. We got a lot of white people out there that have a stripe of yellow all the way down their back. And they will turn and be with the enemy. They're more afraid of the enemy than they are of Yahweh's wrath. They have no real commitment to the survival of their true Israelite brethren. They don't care. They're all about themselves and the world that they live in. But they'll talk the talk, but they won't walk the walk. And this is very disconcerting, and it makes you upset. It makes me upset. But that's how people are. Our people have been a stiff-necked, selfish people all along. That's why we were in dispersion. We just kept breaking Yahweh's laws, and these people are going to talk and smile to your face. But when they actually are put at risk, they will not stand. You need to watch out for that. They attach themselves to you and your group as a hobby. It is not real to them. And when harsh reality stares them in the face, they're going to run. And it's disheartening. Yes, I know it's disheartening. But I, in my age and my long standing in this movement thing, I've seen it time after time after time after time. Saw it in the Klan, saw it in the militia. I've seen it in CI. People that turn on their brethren. They do it. You know. We've got guys that, oh yeah, I love Yahweh and I'll obey his laws, but you see him at the feast? No. Follow him around, you see him going to a Chinese restaurant and eat pork. Oh, that don't mean that much. Yeah. Okay. See him at the bars. They're married, but they're at the bar trying to pick up some floozy. I've seen that a lot. They're not Christians. They Christian in name only. Chinos. Fakes. We have the true believers that actually act on the laws of Yahweh, that'll actually do it, and then we have the fakes that'll talk about it, but they don't do it. And until you see them in action, you really can't tell. Well, I've been around long enough in my 70 years that I've seen a lot of this kind of action from people that were supposed brothers. This prepper list. Oh, it's all cool, and I put it all together, and I'll publish it, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. But how many people are actually going to do what I suggest here and get ready? And how many people are just, oh, I'll get to that next week? And next week never comes. But they'll show up at your camp with nothing, when they had every opportunity. And I'll mooch off of you. And when it gets really ugly and unpleasant and uncomfortable, look for them to bail. They won't help with the camp chores. Oh man, I'm tired. I don't want to do that right now. We need it done now. We're going to move out. Oh man. Well, everybody's going to have their set duties in a crew of Israelites. The physically weaker people need to do less physically strenuous tasks, and the great big strong bulls need to do the bull work, okay? Everybody's going to have their talents. Some people are going to have medical talents. Some people are going to be great at starting small fires, where some other guy can't get a fire going to save his life. Some people are going to have to wash dishes. Some people are going to have to wash clothes for other people, because other people are doing other tasks. Clearing a campsite, making it safe so you don't trip over roots. You don't have a bunch of sticks and rocks underneath your tent site. The kids are going to have to do a lot of work. Kids are going to have to be busy doing the little things that don't require a lot of concentration, because they're kids. They don't have the concentration powers that an adult does to do a complicated task. They're children. They need to do children's work. They need to clear sticks and rocks and gather little bitty pieces of firewood. The kids can do that. You need to teach them, if you're in an area with poisonous snakes, you need to teach them about snakes. You need to teach them safety procedures. And for heaven's sakes, bring Bibles with you. You're going to have the scripture with you to read and teach those children. You're going to have a lot of free time. And you need to educate those children out of the scriptures. And you're going to have discipline among the children. They're going to have to learn their studies. And you have to test them like they were going to regular school. Well, it'll be Bible school during the tribulation. They're going to have to know why we're doing what we're doing. The why is all important. They need to know our race's history, the history of Israel, what we did in the past that was good, and what we did in the past that was against Yahweh's will. They need to know both sides of the story. They need to have reality. Don't sugarcoat anything. Look, we've made mistakes. Here's what we did wrong. Here's what society today has done wrong, and that's why there's a tribulation, and Yahweh's wrath is upon all the nations. There's war worldwide. There's riots and insurrection and rape and murder and killings. Don't hide things from your children. That's the problem today. They're not being taught the truth in the Judeo school systems. You need to teach your children the truth, Israelites, because they will be condemned to repeat mistakes if they are not made aware of what we as a people have done wrong in the past and are doing now. For the most part, the remnant isn't doing this. But the main body of Israel and the Judeo-Christian churches are in apostasy and are sinning. Their very thoughts are sinful to accept homosexuality and race mixing and transgenderism and all this nonsense that's going on in direct opposition to Yahweh's will. And Yahweh's giving them enough rope to hang themselves. And they will be numbered among the goats. And they think they're saved. Oh, I went up to the altar in the church and confessed all my sins before the Lord. Who? The Lord? What's God's name? God? The Lord? No. What's his son's name? Jesus? No. What day do you worship on? Sunday? Yeah, the day of the sun god. What holidays do you celebrate? Well, Christmas and Easter? Yeah. Christ was born on Christmas in December. No. What's Easter? That's the day he rose up and we got Easter eggs and the Easter bunny and it's fun for the kids. They don't know that it's Ishtar Sunday for the fertility goddess. They don't know that Christ's Mass is a requiem mass for the dead Christ, who isn't dead, he rose. He wasn't born in December. It's not the ascension of the sun god Mithra, which is what December 25th is. And you tell them the truth about that, and they look at you like you got two heads. Well, they want to teach your children that crap, too. They've been raised to believe that in the Judeo school systems. You have to counter that as an Israelite. And this Feast of Tabernacles coming up is a practice session for when we have to go out in the tribulation. You put up a tent, you stay in a tent. You don't go in your house. You don't eat in your house, you eat outdoors. If it's pouring down rain, you eat outdoors. If it gets cold, you sleep outdoors in that tent. That's what it's going to be during the tribulation, and that's what Tabernacles is going to be. It's a practice for the tribulation. That's what it is right now. Don't make it easy on yourself. Take the hardship. Learn. Learn to build a fire in wet weather. Learn to cook outside. Learn to live outside. You're not going to be able to stay in your home if you're in a city during the tribulation. The gangs of thugs will come and kick your door in, rape your wife and your daughters, and kill you and your children and your wife. After they play with you a little bit, have their fun, and take your stuff, that house will be a death trap. Well, I can't walk away from all my stuff. Well, then die with your stuff. Okay? That stuff will get you killed. You're going to have to go. Says the children of Israel shall flee to the mountains. Okay? You don't want to do that? You don't want to hear it? I'm sorry for you. Many will be called, but few will be chosen. And you can nod your head and say all of this. Oh, yeah, I agree. But will you do it? That is the question. Will you actually physically get off your dead duff and do it? Will you prepare? I've given you a list. I can't make you do it. I have no authority over you. But I've put it out in front of you. Now you know, you can't unknow. Don't say you weren't told by an old foolish man. If I am a fool for Yahweh, I am still better than those that don't believe in Yahweh. Those that call me names. Those that call Christian identity names. We're better off being called those names because we will enter the kingdom. Yeshua said we would be persecuted for his name's sake. Well, it's starting. More and more and more persecution. More. And the Judeo-Christians think they're going to get out from under this. Well, because they believe in the Jesus, they're going to get it in the neck too. They're playing along with them right now. But this enemy is going to turn on them. First of all, because they're white. Second of all, because they're Christian. And they've let all these infiltrators into their churches, mixed race, sodomites, etc., etc. Now, they are not going to be receiving the hedge of protection that Yahweh will offer his remnant, because they are not of his remnant. A lot of them may be of Israel, but they are not members of the remnant. They haven't made the commitment. They don't call upon the name of Yahweh. Well, they call upon the name of the Lord. That's not good. Yahweh doesn't accept that. His name's not George. It's Yahweh. It's not the Lord. It's Yahweh. It's not Gawad. It's Yahweh. His name is Yahweh and nothing else. Read the book of Exodus, where the name was reminded to Moses. They knew the name of Yahweh beforehand. And it was a reminder to Moshe to say, Yahweh sent me to the people of Israel. Time for me to go. That ends the third segment of the Prepper Show. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and Shalom Aleichem.
Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
to his glory.